reste-t-il de nos amours? Que reste-t-il de ces beaux jours? Une photo, vieille photo de ma jeunesse.
La Peste by Albert Camus, dramatized for radio by Guy Meredith, with Ronald Pickup as Dr. Rieu, John Shrapnel as Tarou, Clive Merrison as Rambert, Maurice Denham as Grand, Brian Glover as Cottard, and Alfred Burke as Father Panalou.
Baiser volé, rêve mouvant, que reste-t-il de tout cela? Dites-le-moi. Un petit village, un vieux clocher, un paysage bien caché.
An ugly place, without pigeons, without trees, without parks. No beating of wings, no rustle of leaves, nothing to tell you it's spring apart from a slight thickening of the air and imported flowers for sale in the market. The inhabitants, hurrying and bored, stick to their daily routines. The first six in every week are for business, for money-making, the endless struggle to become richer than the next man. Simple pleasures, the beach, the cinema, a game of boule, a love affair, are sensibly reserved for the seventh. A modern city, in short, without attractions, without soul. Somewhere to sink gently into the oblivion of habit. At last.
You are listening to Radio Iran, a division of the Algerian Broadcasting Service. The time is 8 o'clock. We begin transmission today with a program of the latest in popular music.
La mer, qu'on voit danser le long des golfes clairs, a des reflets d'argent.
I'm sorry, not in my block of flats.
But I tell you, I've just seen her.
And I tell you, with respect, that I swept that landing first thing.
Then how is it outside my front door?
I really couldn't say. Now, Doctor, I appeal to you. Do I keep a clean building or not?
Oh, I've no time for a general discussion.
No, just implications, imputations. Would you believe it? He's claiming there are...
You will have to excuse us as well, Monsieur Michel. We've a train to catch.
And Madame Rieu, how are you? I haven't seen you for so long. Are you feeling better?
Much better, thank you, Monsieur Michel.
Why didn't you tell me your wife was out of hospital, Doctor? You're not leaving us again, are you?
For a short while, only a month.
Oh, I hope he's looking after you. No point in marrying the medical profession otherwise, is there? Oh, shall I give you a hand with the case, Doctor?
No, please don't trouble yourself.
Now, you take my advice, madame. Fresh air is what you need. It's the heat here in Oran. Lays on your lungs. Not even a sea breeze. The mountains is where you should be.
You're wasted as a porter, Monsieur Michel. That's exactly where I'm being sent. Goodbye.
Yes, of course. Off you go, both of you. You're travelling as well, are you, Doctor?
I shall be back as usual after surgery.
Oh, I see. Yes, well, bon voyage, madame.
First class. We can't afford this, can we?
Well, you have to be comfortable. It's a tiring journey under the best of circumstances.
But I'm fine now, aren't I?
Yes, of course.
Bernard, no, please. We're on our own, not in a hospital ward, not with a nurse at home. Don't avoid me.
You're recovering. You know you are. You must believe you are.
I know I'm used to hearing both of us say it. I feel so weak, but then I felt weeks since I don't remember. Perhaps this is how I'll always feel.
No. No, Marielle.
Awake last night, I could only think how much I loved you and that today would be the last time I see you for a month, or else the last time I see you.
Come on, sit down. Head back. Yes, breathe. Hold it. Now, slowly let it out. Slowly. Yes. Now look, there's a nurse down the corridor.
Oh, I don't need the nurse. I need you, Bernard.
I haven't cared for you well enough.
No, I'm sorry, don't say that.
Months, over a year of illness. Where have I been?
You don't only have me to look after. Sometimes it seems half the town depends on you.
When you come back, it'll be different. I promise. We'll start again.
In a month.
In a month. Truly, would I let you out of my hands if there were any doubt?
All those not traveling, off the train, please.
I love you, Marie-Hélène, however far apart we've become.
I'll think of you here working, and I'll work with all my energy to be healthy again.
Now, look after yourself. Please look after yourself.
Only a month. I love you. Be sure to rise.
Mr. Martin, I wanted to say something.
Question. How to avoid wasting your time? Answer: drag it out as long as you can. Pass your days in a dentist's waiting room. Attend lectures in a language you don't understand. Write a minute description of every aspect of life in a town where nothing takes place. The soot-covered lions, for instance, here at the station entrance, gazing down at departing travelers. The row of boat-shaped trams in the forecourt. There are oddities, of course. Opposite my hotel window, an old man tears strips of newspaper and scatters them below his balcony. Stray cats appear to chase the paper, and he spits down at them, cackling with laughter if he scores a direct hit. And then a certain doctor, always busy, seen everywhere, dark suit, cropped hair, weathered skin of a Sicilian peasant, now here today, walking slowly across the concourse, eyes fixed on the ground, past a railwayman trailing a box of dead rats.
Bloody kids, that's who's doing it. Their idea of a joke. Go down the Arab Quarter, pick them up off the street. Wait till I'm not looking, then chuck them in here. It's not my fault, Doctor, is it? I ask you, can I be held to blame?
Monsieur Michel,
ah,
please,
yes, take a good look, with respect.
Huh? Well, where did you find them?
First floor landing. Already dead, mind.
Yeah, then perhaps you should get rid of them.
Oh, no, these are evidence, these are. I've been standing in the doorway all afternoon, holding them up by the tails, waiting for some little beggar to pass a sarcastic remark. And when they do, I'll fetch them such a clatter. Oh, and by the way, Doctor, Monsieur Grand just called.
Oh?
He'd missed you at the surgery. He seemed to feel it was something quite urgent.
Good of you to turn out, Doctor, considering he's not part of your practice.
Who is he?
Oh, a man of mystery. I think you could say yes, indeed. We pass on the landing, Monsieur Grand, Monsieur Cortin, and that's it. Be careful. Not as much illumination as there might be in these old buildings. Wait a moment.
Well, when did it happen?
Well, I couldn't say with any precision, but I got him down in the nick of time. I thought he was a goner. That's his door.
Come in. I've hung myself.
At first I thought it was a joke, and then I heard a sort of half laugh, half groan, and... Monsieur Cotter, this is the doctor.
Now, lay still. I'm not going to hurt you. Turn the light on, please, Monsieur Grand.
Must be a painful way of doing it, I should think.
Move your left hand. Left hand. Good. Your right. Now look towards me. No, look towards me. Now, that's fine.
You pull through, won't you?
Yes, the spinal cord is held. No breakages. Some asphyxiation, of course. You're a lucky man, Monsieur Cottard.
You didn't try it from high enough.
Then that's simply a shot of camphor oil for your breathing. Yes, and you'll need a few days' complete rest. After that, an X-ray to be on the safe side.
Well, thank you again for coming, Doctor. I didn't know who else to call.
Oh, the police?
Oh, well, of course. I'd quite forgotten the family.
Oh, naturally, I'll do it.
No, not worth the trouble.
No, no, calm down, Monsieur Cottard. It's only a formality. I have to make my report.
No,
Try and understand, Monsieur Cottard. If you have another go, the doctor could be held responsible.
Well, stupid. Leave me in peace.
Very well, very well. We'll forget about it for the moment, but now don't do anything foolish, Monsieur Grand. Monsieur Grand, he'll need looking after, well, at least for tonight. Is he in family?
No, not that I know of, but I can do it. A friend in need, I'm always at home in the evenings.
Good. I shall have to write a report, though I'll try and delay the inquiry. Have you any idea why he wanted to kill himself?
None. Although, let's see, perhaps one could say an inner grief.
Perhaps one could.
Yes, yes, an inner grief. Mm. Allow me to show you out. Inner grief.
Monsieur Grand, one thing. How long have there been rats in this building?
Oh, just recently, creatures of darkness, though.
Apart from this one.
Oh, no, I don't think so. I think it's dying.
Interesting. In the last 2 days, hundreds of dead rats cleared from factories and warehouses throughout the city, lying heaped in the streets, piled in dustbins, queued in the gutter. The local press has decided to take a stance, asking what the prefecture proposes to do. The prefecture has proposed nothing at all, but immediately authorized dawn collections and incineration of the corpses. But the situation worsens. Now they emerge from their hideaways to die in groups, teetering into the sun, long wavering files seeking human companionship before collapsing, a small red flower of blood on their snouts. Each day the city refills with carcasses, as if the earth beneath were purging itself of some terrible sickness. However, despite these untoward occurrences, the good citizens of Oran attempt to pursue their everyday lives.
Next. Next! Ah, come in, please. Sit down. Oh, are there many more in the waiting room?
I'm the last.
Good. My receptionist always leaves on the dot. I haven't seen you before, have I?
No, but you were recommended to me.
Ah.
I need a specialist.
Then I'm afraid you were wrongly recommended.
I don't think so. Raymond Rombert of the Paris Observateur, my card.
Ah, staff reporter. These rats?
Local story, Doctor. I haven't come 1,000 miles to write about rodents. I'm researching a series of articles about Arab life in the colonies.
I see. And how can I help you?
I'll just take a few notes. You work in the Arab Quarter.
I work all over.
So much the better. You can give me a comparative answer. Tell me, what's their general state of health?
The Arabs? Poor?
Can you elaborate? Is the sanitation adequate?
I take it you'll be able to tell the truth in your articles.
Naturally. Drainage, living conditions...
If your expert informs you that the Arabs are being neglected by the government, would the Observateur print it?
Of course, that's the whole point.
Then let's say purposefully neglected.
All right, purposefully would be a little strong. We have our links to maintain, but then that's not the case.
No, I agree, that's not the case.
So I can quote you.
But if it were, your paper wouldn't have the stomach to say so.
Yes, this is becoming a touch hypothetical.
Monsieur Lambert, I'm as keen to help the Arabs as you are. The difference is that I don't campaign, I deal with facts.
Aren't you being rather holy, Doctor?
Oh, very likely.
I'm simply tired of the misery and injustice which thrives in a world full of reasonable, honest people.
I'm not asking you to lie.
No, you're asking me to make concessions with the truth. I won't do it. Leah, one moment. You'll find yourself an expert with less scruples, Monsieur Rambert.
I don't doubt it. Sorry to have bothered you.
Now, yes? Yeah, oh, hello. I see. Get him to bed. I'll be over straight away. 39 degrees. How long has your husband been like this?
Burning me up the pocket.
Just over an hour, rambling. He had a headache this morning, that's all. Oh, what's wrong with it?
Burning me up inside.
Can't keep anything down?
Only water, not always that.
Well, give him as much as he can manage. Yeah, and keep him warm, let him sweat.
He's always been so strong. I told him not to go down to work if he wasn't feeling up to it, but you know how he is.
Go beg us, I'll catch him.
What's he got, Doctor?
Oh, it could be any number of things. Some sort of glandular virus is the nearest I can say. We'll try a suspension to hold the fever.
How could it have come on so quickly?
Honestly, I don't know. Look, there's your prescription. Thanks. Take his temperature every hour. If it rises again, fetch me upstairs straight away. Straight away, do you understand?
Yes, Doctor.
Otherwise, I'll call first thing in the morning.
Rats!
The most alarming symptoms were dark red stains on the skin, large patches on the abdomen and inside the thighs.
Really? Caused by?
Well, I've no idea, Richard. But no one's reported anything similar, have they? High fever with local inflammations?
Well, I've seen a couple of cases of swollen ganglion.
Abnormally swollen?
My dear ear, to be swollen at all is to be abnormal. I don't carry a tape measure in my bag.
Then the other symptoms. Bloodshot eyes, violent headache, continuous vomiting, stomach cramps.
Yet you say he's recovered.
Oh, suddenly as he fell ill. Temperature down almost to normal this morning, sitting up, even smiling weakly. But the ferocity of it, Richard.
If my cases develop, I'll let you know.
Arrived safely, of course, and such scenery on the way. Hills like sleeping dinosaurs, peaks and ridges hanging from nowhere, even distant snowcaps. Everything so fresh and clean. Poor old Iran crouched down there like a snail on the plain. Only 4 weeks. I love you.
Rat invasion over! Collections fall drastically!
Here, give me one.
Thank you, sir. Rat invasion over! Collections fall drastically!
Now, in the next 5 minutes, the man's running a 40-degree temperature. I'll be at the entrance. We'll meet the ambulance downstairs. Madame, you better pack something.
Oh, what will he need?
No, for yourself. They'll want to keep you in for tests.
Thank you,
sir. Come on, Monsieur Michel. We're going to hospital.
No, don't move him.
Time could be crucial. Now, please, the bedclothes.
But he was better this morning. You saw him. He was well.
I know, but a remission, that's all. Please, help me.
You to him.
Already dead.
Isolation, and we'll try a special treatment.
Oh, then he still has a chance, hasn't he? There's still something you can do. There's still hope.
Yep. The door, please.
Rats! Rats! Rats!
Acquisum was domine, and cum servo tuo defunctum misericordium. Ut factorum suorum in penis non recipiat vicem.
On reflection, I realized I was attracted here in order to learn how to become a saint. That is to say, find peace of mind. But now, the press, so eager to publish details of the rats, say nothing about the humans. Men die in their homes, and newspapers are interested only in the street. Understood to be a dozen or so cases of the disease, almost all fatal.
Mother, I don't want to make either less or more of it than there is, but it's a freak outbreak of something.
Are you telling me to go home again?
No, simply that...
There are illnesses all over the world. Oran, Algiers, wherever. I'm with you, and I'm happy. Nothing can alter that.
I'm glad to have you here. How long will you stay?
As long as you want me to. until Marie-Hélène returns. At least 3 weeks, isn't it?
Yes, yes, possibly. Not possibly longer.
How do you mean?
Oran is no place for the sick, lying sweltering in some shuttered room.
But she's recovering. That's what she told me on the telephone. Told me you told her. Isn't she?
Well, we see what the reports say. I'm really no specialist on lung disease, and staff at the sanatorium are experts.
You lied to her.
I told her what we both wanted to hear. I don't know. She could get better. She could... I don't know.
You should be with her.
If I stayed by her, watched over, she'd see there was no hope. She'd give up fighting. While she fights it, there's still a chance.
You should be with her.
Yes, I've arranged a locum. I'm leaving next week.
You must be tired. Why don't you go to bed?
No, I'll help you unpack.
No, I'm in no hurry. I'll sit here for a while.
There's a doctor. He becomes so used to suffering and death. It never gets any easier to bear. Yeah, what can I do except my job? Good night, Mother.
Good night, Bernard.
Marie-Hélène.
To Observateur Paris 3e from Rombert Oran. Message: killer disease, battles medics, stop. 35 dead, stop. New cases isolated, stop. Standing state of colour, end.
Right.
Is my call through yet?
Oh, no, Monsieur Rombert. Is it to the Observateur account, too?
Why not? Why shouldn't they pay for affairs of the heart as well as those of the world, hmm? Hello. Claire?
Hello?
Claire.
Raymond, where are you? When are you coming back?
You don't really want me there, do you? While you've got the run of Paris. Besides, this place is full of laughs. Makes the Gare look like a mortuary.
You're going to the town hall?
Oh, yes. 1,000 thanks, Doctor. Cats and dogs, eh? Second week in May, never fails. 23 centimetres every year.
Oh, really? Yeah. How far does the statistics department go back?
Oh, longer than I've been a municipal clerk, and that's 35 years.
You're obviously indispensable.
Oh, with numbers, I have no problem. Now, my difficulty is expressing myself. With my work, I'm referring to my evening work.
Ah, and what's that?
You won't laugh. May I read you something?
Oh, please.
One fine morning in the month of May, an elegant horsewoman on a fine black mare was riding down the flowery paths of the Bois de Boulogne.
A novel?
Yeah, my opening sentence. What do you think?
It whets my appetite. I'm curious to know how the story continues.
Oh, no. You haven't understood. That's just a rough draft. It needs work. It needs polish.
There isn't any more?
No. Of course, you think it's simple writing, but progress isn't easy. Not easy at all.
No, tell me, how is Monsieur Cotard?
No, much better. He seems to have forgotten his moment's panic.
Oh, is that what he called it?
No, not to the police. He wasn't exactly fond of them.
Oh, he is.
Oh, yes, but it struck me perhaps there was something more, something to hide. After they left, he cheered up immediately. And then, for some reason, he's over the moon about this disease. It's cholera, isn't it?
Where did you hear that?
Oh, well, on the radio. It was in the newspapers, too.
No, it's not cholera.
Well, then what is it?
I'm not absolutely certain. Even if I was, it wouldn't help you to know. Look, I'll drop you over there.
Well, I hope I haven't taken you out of your way.
No, I was coming to the city library anyway.
In Constantinople, according to Procopius, 10,000 victims fell in a single day. The Athenians carried bodies to the sea by night, fighting by torchlight for a place on the beach. Hysterical lovemaking in the overflowing cemeteries of Milan. The Great Wall of Provence built to fend off infection. And in Canton, only 70 years ago, 40,000 rats died before a single inhabitant succumbed. The pulse weakens until the patient dies from the slightest movement. Not here. Surely not.
Sorry, Doctor, no more room in isolation.
Since when?
Every bed taken for the last 2 days and a dozen cases already this evening.
Richard, you have to clear another ward for isolation.
I need the prefect's authority. He's at a reception in Algiers.
Then for God's sake, get hold of him.
I'm doing all I can.
Have you spoken to Castel?
Dr. Castel? Why, he's retired and he hardly worked in Iran.
That's exactly the point.
Gentlemen, we set up extra beds in outpatients.
Speak to Castel, and if you don't, I will as soon as I'm through here.
So it's you. I wondered who would come. I thought it might be you.
Then you know why I'm here. Castel, you have worked in Indochina.
And I've seen cases there. You're right.
You're certain it's the same?
Dark stains, swelling, suppuration, bleeding around the groin. A strange remission after 36 hours. Death within 48 amongst the stench of rotting flesh. Aren't those the symptoms?
No, I can't believe it.
Well, everyone knows it's disappeared from the West. Everyone except the corpses.
Look, I am still waiting for the lab results.
No, Ria, you are as certain as I am.
Castel, it's scarcely credible. It seems we have an outbreak of plague. Why on earth didn't you come forward if you were sure?
Because no one wants to hear the truth. The public must be protected. No panic. Above all, no panic.
So what can we do?
There are only two choices. Either surrender to it, or fight it. And to fight it, we'll need an army.
Gentlemen, please, if we could... thank you. We'll have the door shut, please.
Monsieur le Préfet.
Good. Well, now, Dr. Rieu, since we're gathered here at your insistence... Perhaps you'd like to explain exactly why this doctor's meeting is necessary.
Certainly.
For my part, am convinced that this is a false alarm, that while we must, of course, administer all necessary treatment for the disease, we must do so quietly and discreetly. We already have enough problems with gossip, exaggerations.
You know there are no serum stocks at all in Oran?
There are no serum stocks in Algeria. I phoned the central depot this morning. The director couldn't believe what I was asking for. So he's having it shipped from Paris.
God knows how long that'll take.
I've telephoned ahead. Now, what else can we do?
The question before us is, given the present circumstances, what measures should be taken?
The question before us is, are we or are we not dealing with an outbreak of bubonic plague?
Check the corridor. Anyone even near this room should be detained pending my orders.
Let's rein our imagination in a little, shall we? All we know for sure is that we're dealing with a fever which manifests certain inguinal...
For my benefit...
Groin-related complications. Further than that, it's easy to hypothesise, but extremely dangerous. A doctor, Dr. Castel, should not guess.
I wish I were guessing, Dr. Richard, but unfortunately for all of us, I'm not. I know for certain... We have an outbreak of plague on our hands. At the same time, I realise that to give the fact official recognition would be quite unacceptable.
I think we all agree that the fever is of a typhoidal nature, but, in addition, entails the eruption of buboes. I've practised lancing the buboes and had samples of the pus analysed. The analyst is fairly sure he's identified the plague bacillus. However, it is only fair to add that there are certain areas in which our present bacillus does not tally with the classic description.
In that case, I would submit that we are justified in maintaining some scepticism, at least until we have copies of the lab report.
Gentlemen,
When a microbe is capable within 3 days of blowing up the spleen to 4 times its normal size and of turning the mesenteric ganglions into pus-filled balloons, talk of skepticism seems somewhat inappropriate. The speed this sickness is spreading, it could kill half the town by midsummer.
But contagion is not proven. As far as I know, most relatives of my patients are still perfectly healthy.
And the rest are perfectly dead. If contagion was 100%, we'd all be wiped out before the lab report appears. All I'm asking is that we take precautions.
Easy to demand, Rieu. Always easier to demand than to enact.
The law does allow for strict prophylactic measures, but to implement them, we shall first have to be certain we are dealing with plague.
Then all I can say, Dr. Richard, Monsieur le Préfet, is that should you refuse to recognize the possibility that we are dealing with plague, you run the grave risk of having only half a town to administer in 2 months' time.
The Prefecture issued this announcement earlier today. Following the recent occurrence in Oran of a new strain of typhoidal fever, certain measures which the Prefect trusts will be accepted by all with customary calm and good humour have been decided upon. The Prefect would like to emphasise that these measures are purely precautionary and designed to prevent the spread of the illness, which has not yet been proved infectious.
There have been, in the history of the world, as many epidemics as wars. Yet both always take people by surprise. When a war starts, they say, "Oh, it's too stupid, it can't last." Well, certainly war is too stupid, but that's never been known to hold it up. For there's a doggedness about stupidity, obvious to all who care to observe it, that is to say, to none. The citizens of Oran, wrapped up in themselves, in their affairs, in their future, in their freedom, have no idea of what hangs over them.
Analysis of the outer membranous cuticle leaves little doubt that the sample provided contains bacilli of species Plaga bubonis, although in a slightly deviant strain.
Which means
that even when the serum arrives from Paris, it may be ineffective. We need whole houses fumigated. We need supervised funerals. We need at least 2 more auxiliary hospitals. Only the deaths are reducing the queue for beds.
Yes, I've seen the figures. They are, as you say, worrying.
They are more than worrying. They're as clear as daylight, from 16 to 74 daily fatalities within a week.
Well, send me a copy of the report. I shall have to seek instruction from the Governor General.
The street lamps come on. Through the late spring evening, a light breeze wafts the murmur of conversation mingled with the scent of grilled meat. Then, young and old pour out of flats and offices to sit, to flirt, to promenade in the warm, darkening air. The invisible wash of the sea and gentle creak of dark hulls. The lingering glow of the low hills. And in between, the hum of the crowd which swells relaxed and peaceful through the moonlit city. At this time, if at no other, there is a certain beauty here.
The following statement has just been received from the office of the Prefect of Oran. The Prefect, in accordance with the powers vested in him, and acting on direct instruction from the Minister of the Interior of the French government, has unwillingly to impose those emergency procedures intended to restrain the spread of highly infectious diseases. From midnight to night, Oran is officially in a state of plague. All inhabitants will be confined within the walls. The town gates will be closed until further notice.
Mothers and children, husbands and wives, lovers who lightly said goodbye a few days before, certain in their blind, foolish faith to see each other again shortly, are now parted, perhaps forever. For to have confidence in tomorrow is to be continually wounded by disappointment. Impatient of their present, enemies of their past, deprived of their future, the Oranese live from day to day, prisoners under the sky.
alone with their exile and their fear. Their exile. Their fear.
Purpose is disinfection. The patient arrives by ambulance, is carried across the pool to the bricks in the centre. His clothes are dropped back into the disinfectant. He's washed, dried, put into a hospital gown.
I see, yes, very efficient.
He then passes through to one of the wards, classrooms as well, where he's examined by Dr. Rhea as head of this auxiliary hospital.
Uh-huh. And what action do you take, Doctor?
We vaccinate with serum, we incise buboes, and we wait.
Note how the windows are being hermetically sealed. Outside, the walls are cordoned off for 20 metres.
Yes, I see. And through here?
You don't want to go through there.
Oh, why not?
The ward is already in use.
What are you suggesting? That I'm afraid? I have to run the same risks as every single citizen of Iran.
Yeah, it's not that.
I insist.
Then pull on your face mask.
And see if you can stretch it over your eyes.
The serum.
I know.
Each batch seems less effective. Well, I'll have to go and scrub down.
How many are saved?
From that ward, one or two will come through.
One or two?
The blunt truth is that if the epidemic doesn't run out of steam on its own, we're not going to stop it.
There's nothing we can do?
Try and limit the infection. Even one patient saved is some sort of victory.
There is one other avenue of hope.
Well, what is it?
Dr. Castell...
It's not worth considering.
Surely you
there
must...
There is a very slight possibility that serum manufactured here in Iran from this specific microbe will be more effective than that sent from outside.
Yes, of course.
There's no of course about it.
But you're working along those lines. Good. Now, any help you need, Dr. Castell, anything at all? Money?
I'm afraid not, Monsieur le Préfet. Nothing so simple. I have my laboratory, I have all the plague bacillus I need. What I don't have is time, and you can't give me that.
I sit in a deserted cafe and think of you in the late afternoon, amongst the pigeons of the Palais Royal, the columns of the Gare du Nord, the fountains of the Jardin de Luxembourg. At 4 in the morning, I wake and think of you again, Claire, knowing that you'll be sleeping, perhaps dreaming of me, whatever else you've done, whoever else you've been with. I get up then and sometimes write articles. More often, I write to you. But of course, there is no post here, neither entering nor leaving.
Then there's this grocer down my way. Laid out a small fortune cornering the market in tinned meat. Buy now, sell later at 10 times the price. Good business, Sensei. Except they might have got him into isolation in time if they hadn't had to dig their way through a flat full of corned beef. Waiter, another round over here. Hey, and you there, writing. Don't sit on your own. Come on, join us.
Oh, thank you.
Sit down, we're all in the same boat. No point in being unsociable, is there? Cotard's the name.
Jean Tarou.
Now then, what's your poison? How about a brandy? Alcohol kills the micro.
So they say.
Waiter, another brandy, and have one yourself. Yes, so they say. Everyone's got their miracle cures. Last week it was mint lozenges. Every chemist in town sold out. And 350 people died.
They're certainly not all of plague.
Ah, what does it matter? Statistics. They're going up. That's the point. No reason why it should stop now. We're all going to go mad, that's for sure.
Well, you don't seem displeased at the prospect.
In a way, the plague's done me a good turn. Financially, for a start.
What business are you in, Monsieur Cottard?
Supply and demand. Supply and demand. As soon as the supply goes down, the demand goes up. That's economics. This plague is going to make poor boy Cottard a very rich man.
Well, I hope you live to enjoy it.
I'll live. The plague won't catch me.
It's an indiscriminating hunter, Monsieur Cottard.
That's right. It's a hunter, is what it is. And now it's after all of you. All of you! I know what it's like to be hunted. Now it's your turn.
Please, please, calm yourself.
Yes. Yes. Come on. Drink up. There's nothing wrong with this liquor. I sold it myself. Look at them. It's like a public holiday. Shops closing right, left and centre. Everyone out enjoying themselves.
Because they're desperately convinced this is one of nature's jokes, that it won't last.
Then they're wrong. It will. The plague can't end. It mustn't end. Look, we're friends, Monsieur...
Monsieur Tarot.
Doc Tarot, you're a professional man. Is that a book you're writing?
No. Simply a diary.
But you're educated. That's what matters. You'll be respected. Vouch for me, won't you? Tell them, if they ask. I'm not a bad sort.
Oh.
I know. It hurts. Here, in your neck. Like a stone, isn't it? Have you been eating stones?
I do hope it's not this fever everyone's talking about.
Yes, all right. So let's cover you up now.
Is it?
Look, I'm sorry. I shall have to use your phone.
Is it?
Operator, yes, get me the ambulance emergency service.
No! A pity, doctor!
Rombert, Raymond.
Here.
Good afternoon. Sit down, please.
I insist on registering a complaint.
Yes, I see. All in good time.
The past 3 days, I have spent every waking moment in the town hall being shunted round from queue to queue, from office to office. Nobody wants to know me. Then no sooner do I return to my hotel than I'm summoned back again.
With good reason.
Good reason to repeat the same story over again. My life, my work is elsewhere. You should allow me to leave the city. I don't belong here.
We are aware of that, Monsieur Rombert. You're a Parisian.
Yes, I'm a Parisian. As I've said to every petty official from the Department of Aviation to the Boiler House, to be met each time with the same bland replies. No decisions made, no policy formulated.
Monsieur Rombert, we are as unaccustomed to this situation as you are, and we're doing our best to be efficient.
Boulanger, Emile.
You're a journalist.
I'm a journalist.
Good. Salaried, I take it.
What's that got to do with anything?
Do you have any savings?
Pardon?
Have you got any money saved?
No.
No.
Can I ask what this is all about?
We are compiling a list of non-residents, together with their financial means, just in case.
In case of what?
In case you should be transported home.
Captain,
you can hardly expect the taxpayers of Oran to bear the expense.
It's a question of the fare.
It's a question of the fare.
Well, in that case, I have access to any amount of funds. They can be wired direct from Paris.
I see. Excellent.
Then there are possibilities.
There are always possibilities, Monsieur Rambert.
But when? Will it be soon? Have you any idea?
I'm not God, Monsieur Rombert.
Dead. You mean in case I'm shipped back dead?
If you insist on spelling it out, that is exactly what I mean.
With only essential supplies reaching Oran by road and air, further restrictions have reluctantly to be enforced. The sale of petrol will henceforth be limited to those vehicles performing official duties. Rationing will be introduced for both meat and bread. Street lighting will be switched off an hour before dawn.
Let's hope it doesn't last till winter. The curfew will make the night so long.
My bag?
Here. Oh. There now. Can you never take any time off?
Oh, I don't know. Perhaps Sunday morning?
Then you could come to church with me.
No, I don't think so. Well, I'll be back around 2. Don't wait up.
Wait. Aren't you afraid?
Yes, of course, I'm afraid. Won't drive me into church.
I didn't mean that. At my age, there's not a lot left to fear. But the look you have.
What look?
Now, before you go out for the day and when you come home. So blank. so empty.
So unfeeling.
That's what I'm afraid of. If you can't feel pity any longer...
Pity? Of course I can feel pity. How does it help? How does it help the sick being tortured to death by buboes which refuse to burst? Or their families bound to follow them for lack of serum? Pity's worse than useless. It's harmful. Look, out there. A whole town sentenced to death. The plague isn't spectacular. It's simply a systematic and efficient killer. Every day, until my turn comes, it will present me on my rounds in the hospital, present me with the same monotonous series of horrific scenes. I have to shut my heart to them. I have to forget them as I live them. It's the only way to carry on.
You're shivering.
Oh, it must be cool up there in the mountains.
They won't let you call.
No special cases. The lines have to be kept clear for emergency use.
But the last telegram said she was well.
If I can believe it. There's no way of knowing, is there? Well, I must go before the heat sets in. You'd better roll the blinds down, madam.
The dust and the plague hold the town in their grip. And the dissemination of news to the world in return for the support received has been considered a priority. But if I write with emotion, readers of the Observateur will understand that what afflicts this town afflicts me, Raymond Rombert, in equal measure. For no one is in any doubt but that the summer goes hand in hand with the epidemic. The weekly death toll rising as inexorably as the temperature, the burning wind spreading both grit and germs as it blows through the shuttered streets. By 2 o'clock in the afternoon, nothing moves. All, living or dying, have taken refuge in their homes. It's the hour when the heat, the silence, the dust and the plague hold the town in their grip. Claire, I only realize now what it means to be without you. I must come back. I must.
I assure you, Monsieur Tarrou, if it wasn't for clients such as yourself and Monsieur Rombert over there, I would have closed the hotel long ago. It's simply not a paying proposition anymore.
This isn't your usual wine.
Ah, no. The table wines are all finished, I'm afraid. But, as Oran's only four-star establishment, we do have an excellent stock of older vintages, which we won't hesitate to break open.
Well, that's most selfless of you.
Although, of course, there has to be a corresponding increase in price. If only one knew how long it was going to last.
Well, they say the cold weather's the enemy of this sort of sickness.
Monsieur Tarrou, it never really gets cold here. The temperature won't even drop for another few months.
Well, you have to rely on your vintage wine sales.
Even when it ends, who'll want to come near Oran? Why couldn't it have been an earthquake? 10 minutes shaking, count the dead, count the living, paper over the cracks and carry on. One can only hope the week of prayers will make a difference.
Do you think the plague listens to rhetoric?
I wouldn't call Father Panarou's sermons rhetoric. He's been chosen to lead the week of prayers precisely because of his learning.
Then God will listen to Father Panarou's learning.
Monsieur Tarrou, I share your scepticism. I'm not what you call a believer myself. But in times like this, one must clutch at every straw.
Instead of clutching at divine straws, it seems to me we'd be better advised to try and fight the plague ourselves.
Hello?
What are you doing here, Doctor?
Monsieur Rombert?
Eerie, isn't it? An abandoned station. Yet it's one of my favorite haunts. Everything still in its place, except trains and passengers. Listen.
We regret to announce the delay in departure of the boat train to Paris. This train will now leave sometime next year or possibly the year after. Seats are not bookable since all passengers are asked to equip themselves with a long wooden box.
What do you think, Rhea?
I don't like your sense of humour.
I don't like it myself, but it's the only one I've got. Mm. Don't leave, Rhea. I need to speak to you. Ah.
Quotes for an article?
Doctor, Oran isn't my town.
I know, and I'm sorry, but it is now. There are thousands of others in your position.
What do you know of my position? You've no idea even why I want to leave.
It seems a reasonable wish in the circumstances.
What circumstances? It's my wife. Well, she's not exactly my wife, but it comes to the same thing.
Oh. In Paris?
I kept telling myself it's only temporary. It'll end in a day or two. Just file your stories, congratulate yourself on a journalistic coup, and wait.
She knows you well?
But what do I know of her? Well, this may sound stupid, but I wasn't put on this earth to write newspaper reports. It's just possible I was put on here to live with a woman. Do you understand?
Very well.
Well, then write me a certificate stating I haven't got this stupid disease.
I'm sorry, I can't.
Why not?
Because I have no way of telling whether you're carrying the plague or not. Even if I could be certain you weren't infected, the moment you walked out of my surgery, you might catch it.
Well, then quarantine.
The city is one huge sick ward, Rambert. Please. Please believe that I understand your situation, but this is a state of plague and it concerns us all.
But I may never see her again. Can't you comprehend that?
Oh, I think I can. And with all my heart, I want you to meet again. But still, there are laws, and my job lies within them.
Your job? Your laws? You're talking in the abstract again. You're speaking the language of reason. What's the common good if it isn't composed of the good of individuals? I'm talking about the woman I love.
I know. And you're wrong to be angry with me. If I could help you, I would. But I have my duty. And if I abandon that now, I abandon everything.
But don't make any mistake about it. One way or another, I'll get out of here.
My brothers, you are suffering. My brothers, you have deserved to suffer. And the Lord sent a plague unto the land of the Pharaohs. That first plague was sent by God against his enemies. The Pharaoh had stood in the path of providence, and the plague brought him to his knees, as the proud and the blind are ever toppled by the scourge of the Lord. Think on that, and fall to your knees. If today you are looking death in the face, it is because the moment of accounting has come. The righteous have nothing to fear. The unjust have reason to tremble. And who amongst you can claim righteousness? Once, in Italy, many years ago, the country was laid waste by a plague so savage that scarcely enough living survived to bury the dead. And a good angel appeared in the sky. But behind him, a dark angel. And that dark angel, as fine as the devil, was ordered through each village to look on each door, and how many knocks he gave, so many more dead would there be. Now, my brothers, that same dark angel is standing over Oran. Now, perhaps at this moment, his hand stretches towards your door. The plague is settling into your house, waiting for you to come back. There is no power on earth, no medicine, no empty science can help you now. This scourge has arrived. The wheat will be beaten from the chaff, and you will be thrown out with the chaff. Very well. You are asking, you are begging. Is there no salvation? Then let me tell you, this self-same plague is showing you the way. It is showing you the divine will which can transform evil into good. It is showing you, amongst the screams and the agony, the small, still, holy point that must be at the center of your life. Find that within yourself. Offer up your body, your love, and your prayers to God, and he will do the rest. Let us pray. Pater noster, qui es in celis, sanctificetur nomen tuum, adveniat regnum tuum, fiat voluntas tua.
The total number of deaths certified by plague for the first week of July was 823.
Open up! I have an order here under emergency regulations, paragraph 5, subsection 43.
Wait! Let me have one more try. Please! Please listen. You have a sick man in there, I know. I am a doctor. You must let me in. Can you hear me?
Let the neighbours hear you. They have called on us.
In everybody's interest, we must take him to hospital.
Where he'll die like all the others?
That's not certain. He has a chance. Keep him here and he has none.
And at least he'll die with his family.
And he'll infect you all. You have children. Think of them.
They're going to die anyway. No one will survive. We're all damned. Damned for an unknown crime. At least leave us to die together.
Oh, Crank, sir. I wish you were. Break it down.
Only a few months ago, doctors were welcomed in as healers. Now they arrive with an army detail.
Please, leave me alone.
In 2 weeks or a month at most, you'll be helpless. You'll have been overtaken by the plague. You'll be killing off victims quicker than you can collect them. Is that true?
Who are you?
Well, my name is Jean Tarou. Nothing else about me matters, apart from what I know. That you are short of manpower, that the army is overstretched, that the town hall was considering obligatory public service. Mm.
Where did you learn this?
Well, I use my eyes and my ears. I make friends easily.
Then you'll already know that the plan won't be implemented. The work's too dangerous. The prefect's worried it would spark a riot.
Well, no doubt he's correct. Another possibility would be to use prisoners?
It's been suggested.
They, after all, have no rights.
Which is why I'm against the idea.
So am I. Now, let me tell you my suggestion. Volunteers. A series of voluntary brigades, as many as we can muster. I would undertake to organize and, of course, participate in the work. Now, I'm thinking of two main areas. Firstly, prophylactic, touring overcrowded and slum areas to ensure that standards of hygiene are kept rigorously high. And second, auxiliary, ensuring the transfer of patients from home to hospital and of their families into quarantine. I mean, your presence here, for example, is unnecessary and wasteful.
You really think you'd find the manpower?
I'd make friends easily. I could form the nucleus today. After that, we'll see. But yes, I believe so. Look around you. These people are frightened, but they only want an opportunity to find their courage.
Why have you come to me?
Because you're amongst the decision makers. But you're accessible. I need you to put my plan to the prefect.
Phone me this evening, Monsieur Tarou, at the Saint-Roch Auxiliary Hospital.
La Peste by Albert Camus was dramatized for radio by Guy Meredith. Dr. Rieu was played by Ronald Pickup, Tarou by John Shrapnel, Rambert by Clive Merrison, and Grand by Maurice Denham. Cotta was played by Brian Glover, Father Panalou by Alfred Burke, Dr. Richard, Stuart Organ, Madame Rieu by Joan Matheson, Dr. Castell by John Bott, and the prefect, David Garth. Marie-Hélène was played by Susie Bran, Monsieur Michel, Douglas Blackwell, Madame Michel, Sheila Grant, Claire, Natasha Pine, Monsieur Auton by John Church, and the radio announcer, George Parsons. Other parts were played by members of the cast, with Brian Hewlett, Gerard Green, and Andrew Branch. Technical presentation by David Greenwood, with Roger Daines and Anne Bunting. The play was directed by Cherry Cookson.